O holy Jesus, most merciful Redeemer, friend and brother, may I know thee more clearly, love thee more dearly, follow thee more nearly. In the name of God, Creator, Redeemer, Sustainer. As we move toward completing the great 50 days of Easter, heading to the Feast of Pentecost, 2 weeks from today, we continue in the Gospel of John. We remain at the beginning of the final discourse, the great summation of Jesus' teaching he delivers to his gathered disciples the night before he is to die. Recall in John at the Last Supper, the primary action of the evening is Jesus washing the feet of the disciples. Last week we heard the new commandment given the disciples after the foot washing. Love one another as I have loved you. Jesus has explained how they are to live and relate to one another as they continue the work they have to do. In our reading today, Jesus is again trying to explain to the disciples that he will be leaving to return to the Father. It is certainly fitting that this reading falls the Sunday before the Feast of the Ascension, which is this Thursday, the feast that celebrates the completion of Jesus' post-resurrection time on earth as he ascends to his full glorification at the right hand of God. But that all occurs as part of the post-Easter experience, made clearer by the resurrection light. Our reading this morning occurs the night before Jesus is brought to trial and execution. It is a tense and fearful time. The disciples are, of course, confused and more than a little anxious over all of this talk. This is their master and their teacher. How can he talk of leaving? And what will they do without him? What can they do without him? Gently, Jesus reassures them. Just a few verses before our reading today, Jesus tells them, "I will not leave you orphaned." In our reading this morning, he delivers another promise. The Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I have said to you. When Jesus returns to the Father, as he is preparing to do now that his hour has arrived, his work in this world will have come to completion. He will have fully manifested his love of God as well as God's love for all of creation. The work of the disciples is now about to really begin. Their work will now reveal the completed story of the ministry of Jesus, the Word made flesh that dwelt among us. They, and all of us who have come after them, belong to a new age of post-Easter resurrection life. And our lives and ministry continue the glorification of God through Jesus, begun in the fulfillment of his mission. Jesus is beginning to shift the disciples from their present state of fear and uncertainty to a future anchored in the glory of the resurrection and guided by the Holy Spirit. And all this work will be done in community by living into Jesus' new commandment to love one another. In the original Greek, this entire section is delivered in second person plural, a point often missed in English translation. In other words, it is addressed to the group, as a community, not to each person individually. To translate it into Southern English, Jesus is essentially telling the disciples, y'all need to love one another now. Make nice, show the world how it's done. Jesus promises them they will not be alone in this effort. The Father will send them an advocate, a counselor, the Paraclete, the Holy Spirit, to assist them. God will do this because Jesus will ask it of God. The role of this advocate is clearly defined. It will teach you everything and remind you of all that I have said to you. It will not deliver new teachings, but it will remind and help the disciples remember all they have learned in their time with Jesus. And as Jesus continually reminded them, he only did the work of the Father. The disciples and us are called to continue the works of Jesus and to keep his commandments. We are not called to retreat into the past, desperately collecting and polishing misty memories, or to withdraw into our own individual and singular experiences to the exclusion of all else. We are called to live and to love and to work together in community, witnessing to and sharing that love with the world around us. And the Spirit will be there to teach us, to remind us, and to guide us. One thing we can be sure of is that the Spirit will lead where the Spirit will lead. We can choose to be open and receptive to her call or not, but she will lead. How often have any of us started a project or a meeting or any of a dozen of the ordinary things in our lives, sure of what we were doing and where we were going, only to end up somewhere totally new and unexpected? If you speak to any of us who prepare sermons regularly, you will be told frequent stories of messages that move to where they belong, despite the best efforts of we who write them to craft them differently. How can we expect any less in the workings of the church through which our faith is exercised, as with the disciples, in community and in love? The glory and the power and the mystery of the Easter experience is that it takes us all to somewhere new and unexpected. I used to be a great collector of kitchen magnets, back when I used to have more than one refrigerator. I think there is great wisdom displayed on refrigerators throughout the world, all in fewer characters than a tweet. Today, I am reminded of one of many, and one that many of you may be familiar with and have heard me quote. We make plans, God laughs. Of course, the other one I have in my office, if any of you want to come and see it, is life is what happens when you're busy making plans. Throughout all of this, the Spirit is there to direct us. Jesus then gives his disciples another promise. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. He tells us it is not the peace of this world. It is the first use of the word peace in the Gospel of John. It is not the cheery and insincere offhand remark that everything will be okay. Don't worry, be happy. Let's go shopping. It's not the reassurance that we'll all be given wealth and material prosperity or eternal youth or perfect health or even good hair and nice teeth. It's not an invitation to sit back and retire from life. Rather, it is the call and the reassurance to find new strength and comfort as the Spirit leads us into new, exciting, and sometimes uncomfortable circumstances and dimensions of our lives together as a community of faith. Jesus tells them and us, do not let your hearts be troubled and do not let them be afraid. The joy of Easter life is the reassurance that hope will always vanquish despair. Faith is much stronger than doubt. Light dispels the darkness. Love overpowers hate, fear, and even death. Our lives together are lives of hope, faith, and love, infused with the constant presence of God in all our lives. Alleluia.